very personal part of his life with Amelia, and I think he felt that it was not right to sell it or publish it, that she wouldn't have wanted it to. It had love letters in it. It had her poetry, flight records, passport, oh, just too many hundreds of pieces of information. So he kept these papers, and he never published them. No one knew about them. After he died, he left them to his wife. He was married again. Her name was Peg Lewis. And Peg Lewis had these for a number of, many years, maybe 20 or 30 years. And she and I became very, very close friends. Over the years, I would fly to California and interview her and ask her questions about my grandfather. And after many, many years, probably 10 years or so, I think Peg Lewis and I became closer than a real grandmother and granddaughter could be, even though she was only my step-grandmother. And I think she believed in the end that I was the person, that I was the family member that should have this collection and that hopefully I would do the right thing with it. And the rest is history. But after I finished writing this book with this information, this valuable collection, I knew that it was time to give it away, to give it to some place that could protect it and a place where the public could view it and learn from it, because I feel that much of the history was lost because my grandfather never revealed the truer side of their marriage. And I'm thrilled to know that it's here, and it's now a part of that whole collection that started back in right after Amelia was lost, in about 1940, I think 3 years after she was lost. So now the collection is back together again.
What is your favorite piece? You obviously know these pieces very well and
yes,
have cataloged them and studied them. What is personally your favorite?
I would have to say that it would be one or two of the letters that my grandfather wrote to Amelia just before she left on her last flight, and one or two just before, maybe a week or so before she left on her last flight. And they're beautiful love letters between a husband and a wife, and they're tender, and they certainly show the kind of love that they shared for one another. And I think these letters taught me more about my grandfather and his wife than anything else that has ever been written. But this was never revealed before, so no one could have known this about this couple.
Tell me a little bit about what you found in your studies about your grandmother, grandfather, and Amelia Earhart. I know that in this collection there's a prenuptial agreement, which is something back then that seems quite forward-thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Was your grandfather, was he a forward-thinking man? Did you find a lot of that about him?
Oh, absolutely. You see, she could not have been the forward-thinking woman if she hadn't had this powerful man saying, be this person that you are. This was the woman he wanted her to be, and he encouraged her to be. But it's really very interesting because you mentioned the prenuptial agreement, and most people know this prenuptial agreement. It had been previously printed in other materials, and it sounded very much like Amelia was asking for her right to be free should the marriage not work out. And that is what it said. But in this original prenuptial agreement, which I've given to Purdue, there were two, actually. And this original one that Purdue now has, the wording is slightly different. But it's different enough so that it means something totally different than the perception that was given to history up until this date. And that was, when she wrote this agreement, she also said, in it, and this for you too. She wanted these same rights for her husband as she was asking for herself. And that's very different from the agreement that has been publicized before.
And it seems like they had a very equal relationship.
Absolutely. Yes, they did. But they respected one another so much for that, and I think the strength of their marriage was based on that equality.